This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace.
Last year, I went through many different life changes. I needed to take a pause and examine how I was feeling in the inside to better show up for the ones who need me to be my best version of myself.
When you're navigating life's changes, Talkspace can help. Talkspace is the number one rated online therapy, bringing you professional support from licensed therapists and psychiatry providers that you can access anytime, anywhere.
Living a busy life, navigating a long-distance relationship, becoming a first-step father, Talkspace made all of those journeys possible. I could speak with my therapist in the office. I could speak with my therapist in the comfort of my home. I was never alone.
Talkspace works with most major insurers, and most insured members have a $0 copay. No insurance, no problem. Now get $80 off your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com. Save $80 with code SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at Rubrik.com. That's Rubrik.com.
A werewolf romance, written by Georgina Anderson. Prologue. The sound of shattering. They say when a mate bond breaks, you hear it shatter like glass inside your chest. They're wrong. It doesn't shatter. It screams. My name is Lyanna Ashwood, and I was 20 years old the day my fated mate rejected me in front of 300 witnesses. 20 years old when I learned that the bond the moon goddess herself forged could be severed by 6 words spoken with absolute conviction. I, Damon Silvercrest, reject you. The pain was instantaneous. Volcanic. Like someone had reached into my chest and torn out my heart while it was still beating. I remember falling to my knees on the ceremonial platform. I remember the gasps from the crowd. I remember my mother's cry of anguish from somewhere in the audience. But most of all, I remember his face. Cold. Resolute. Not even a flicker of regret. "You're broken, Lyanna," he said, and his voice carried across the sacred grounds where we were supposed to complete our bond. "I need a Luna who can stand strong. Not one who falls apart every time the wind blows too hard." He was talking about the panic attacks. The ones that left me gasping and shaking, my wolf retreating so far inside me that sometimes I couldn't feel her for days. The attacks that had started 2 years ago after... No, I wouldn't think about that. Not here. Not now. "I'm sorry," Damon continued, and he even managed to sound it. "But the Silvercrest Pack deserves better. I deserve better." He turned and walked away. And I shattered. Not like glass. Like ice. Slow and inevitable and complete. Chapter 1. The Breaking. 3 days before the rejection. "You're going to be fine," my best friend Mira said, adjusting the silver moon pendant around my neck. "Better than fine. You're going to be Luna of the Silvercrest Pack. Do you know how incredible that is?" I stared at my reflection in the mirror. The ceremonial dress was beautiful. White silk that flowed like water. Silver embroidery that caught the light. I looked like a Luna. Like someone strong and capable and whole. I looked like a lie. "Mira," I said quietly, "what if I'm not ready? You've been preparing for this your whole life." "That's not what I mean." I turned to face her. What if I'm not strong enough? What if he realizes..." "Realizes what? That you're human?" She took my hands. "Ellie, everyone has struggles. Damon knows about your anxiety. He accepted you anyway. He chose you." Had he, though? The mate bond had snapped into place 6 months ago at the spring equinox celebration. I'd felt it the moment our eyes met across the bonfire. That electric pull, that sense of rightness that made everything else fade away. He'd felt it too. I'd seen the recognition in his eyes, the way his wolf had surged forward to meet mine. But in the month since, something had shifted. He'd grown distant, canceled meetings. When we were together, he seemed distracted. Like he was searching for something in me and coming up empty. He loves you, Mira insisted. I see the way he looks at you. He looks at me like I'm a puzzle he can't solve. Then let him solve you. Let him in, Ellie. You keep everyone at arm's length, even him. Maybe that's what's wrong. Maybe she was right. Maybe I was self-sabotaging. Maybe if I just tried harder, was stronger, better, more, the panic attack hit without warning. One moment I was standing in front of the mirror, the next I was on the floor, gasping for air that wouldn't come. My chest was tight. My vision was tunneling. My wolf was gone, fled so deep inside me that I couldn't feel her at all. Ellie! Mira was beside me, her hands on my shoulders. Breathe. Just breathe. In through your nose, out through your mouth. You're okay. You're safe. But I wasn't safe. I was drowning. I was dying. I was... Look at me. Ellie, look at me. I forced my eyes to focus on her face. Count with me. 1, 2, 3. Slowly, painfully, the panic receded. My breathing evened out. My vision cleared, and I felt the familiar wave of shame crash over me. I'm sorry, I whispered. Don't apologize. I can't even get through getting dressed without falling apart. How am I supposed to be a Luna? How am I supposed to lead a pack when I can't even... Stop! Mira's voice was sharp. This doesn't make you weak, Ellie. It makes you someone who survived something terrible and is still here, still fighting. That's strength. I wanted to believe her. Gods, I wanted to believe her. But as I looked at my reflection, dress wrinkled now, makeup smeared, hair disheveled, all I saw was broken. 2 days before the rejection. The council meeting was a disaster. It wasn't supposed to be. I was just supposed to sit beside Damon, smile, and observe, learn how pack politics worked, get comfortable with the idea of being Luna. But then Elder Marcus brought up the border skirmishes with the Northwood Pack, and something in his description, the way he casually mentioned the Omega who'd been killed in the crossfire, made something inside me crack. We should retaliate, Alpha Silvercrest, Damon's father, said. Make it clear that Silvercrest wolves are not to be touched. With respect, Alpha, I heard myself say. Wouldn't retaliation just escalate the conflict? The room went silent. Every eye turned to me. The Omega who died, I continued, my voice shaking but determined. She was someone's daughter, someone's sister. If we retaliate, Northwood will retaliate back. More people will die. Shouldn't we try diplomacy first? Alpha Silvercrest's expression was unreadable. And if diplomacy fails? Then at least we tried. At least we didn't add to the body count without exhausting every other option. That's a very soft approach, Elder Marcus said, and the disdain in his voice was unmistakable. Not what I'd expect from a future Luna. My cheeks burned. I just think... Lunas don't think like Omegas, Marcus interrupted. They think like leaders. They understand that sometimes strength is the only language enemies understand. I felt my wolf whimper inside me, felt the panic starting to rise again. Liana makes a fair point, Damon said, and I felt a rush of gratitude. We should consider all options. But his tone was placating, dismissive, like he was humoring a child. The meeting continued, and I sat in silence, my hands clenched in my lap to keep them from shaking. Afterward, Damon pulled me aside. You can't do that, he said quietly. Do what? Undermine my father in front of the council. Question our strategies. You made me look weak. I was just offering a different perspective. A weak perspective. His eyes were hard. Ellie, I know you mean well, but you have to understand. These people need to see strength. They need to know that their Luna won't fall apart when hard decisions have to be made. I'm not falling apart. Aren't you? He gestured to my hands, which were trembling. You had 3 panic attacks this week. You can't even sit through a council meeting without looking like you're about to bolt. How are you supposed to lead beside me if you can't handle basic pack business? Each word was a knife. I'm trying, I whispered. I know you are. That's what makes this so hard. He ran a hand through his hair, frustrated. Ellie, I care about you, but I have responsibilities. The pack has to come first. And right now, I'm not sure you're what the pack needs. What are you...
This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace.
Last year, I went through many different life changes. I needed to take a pause and examine how I was feeling in the inside to better show up for the ones who need me to be my best version of myself.
When you're navigating life's changes, Talkspace can help. Talkspace is the number one rated online therapy, bringing you professional support from licensed therapists and psychiatry providers that you can access anytime, anywhere.
Living a busy life, navigating a long-distance relationship, becoming a first-step father, Talkspace made all of those journeys possible. I could speak with my therapist in the office. I could speak with my therapist in the comfort of my home. I was never alone.
Talkspace works with most major insurers, and most insured members have a $0 copay. No insurance, no problem. Now get $80 off your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com. Save $80 with code SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
I'm saying I need to think about whether this bond is the moon goddess's will or a mistake. My voice broke. He didn't answer. He didn't have to. The day before the rejection. I didn't sleep that night. Instead, I walked through the Silvercrest pack lands, my wolf finally close enough to the surface that I could feel her grief mixing with mine. He's going to reject us, she whispered. You don't know that. Yes, I do, and so do you. I stopped at the Sacred Grove, the place where mate bonds were completed, where couples came together under the moon goddess's blessing. Tomorrow, I was supposed to stand here with Damon. Supposed to complete our bond in front of our packs. Supposed to become Luna. Instead, I thought I'd find you here. I spun around. My mother stood at the edge of the clearing, her expression heavy with sorrow. Mama, I breathed. She crossed to me, pulling me into her arms. Oh, my sweet girl. He's going to reject me, isn't he? She was quiet for a long moment. Then... I spoke with Alpha Silvercrest today. He expressed concerns about whether you're ready for the Luna position. Because I'm broken. You're not broken, Leanna. You're hurt. There's a difference. Is there? I pulled back, looking at her. Mama, I can't even get through a day without falling apart. The panic attacks, the anxiety, the way my wolf hides from everything. That's not hurt. That's damaged. That's trauma, she said firmly, from what happened 2 years ago, from losing your father and brother in that fire, from being the only one who survived. The memory crashed over me like a wave. The fire. The screaming. My father's voice yelling at me to run. My brother shoving me out the window before the ceiling collapsed. Surviving when they didn't. It should have been me, I whispered. No. My mother's hands framed my face. No, my love. You survived for a reason. The moon goddess had a purpose for you. What purpose? To be rejected by my mate because I'm too weak to lead? If Damon Silvercrest rejects you, then he's a fool who doesn't deserve the gift the goddess gave him. Her voice was fierce, and his loss will be someone else's blessing. But I didn't want someone else's blessing. I wanted him. My mate, the one I was supposed to spend forever with. What do I do? I asked. You hold your head high, she said. You show them the strength that I see in you every single day. The strength it takes to survive what you survived. The strength it takes to keep going when everything inside you screams to give up. That's real strength, Leanna. Not the ability to hide your pain, but the courage to feel it and keep walking anyway. I wanted to believe her. I really did. The day of the rejection, I wore the ceremonial dress, did my hair, my makeup, put on the silver moon pendant. I looked like a Luna. I felt like I was walking to my execution. The ceremony was held in the Sacred Grove at sunset, when the veil between worlds was thinnest and the moon goddess's blessing was strongest. 300 wolves gathered. Both packs, Silvercrest and my home pack, Ashwood. Witnesses to what should have been the happiest moment of my life. Damon stood at the altar, dressed in traditional ceremonial robes. He looked handsome, powerful. Every inch the alpha he was meant to become. When our eyes met, I saw his decision. No, my wolf howled. Please, no. I walked down the aisle anyway, one foot in front of the other, head held high like my mother told me. The priestess began the ceremony, the ancient words about bonds and blessings, and the goddess's will. Then came the moment for Damon to accept the bond, to speak the words that would complete what the goddess had begun. He looked at me. I'm sorry, he said quietly, then louder. I, Damon Silvercrest, reject you, Lyanna Ashwood, as my mate and future Luna. The world exploded in pain. I fell to my knees, the agony of the severing bond ripping through every nerve. My wolf was screaming. My chest felt like it was caving in. I couldn't breathe, couldn't think, couldn't... You're broken, Lyanna. His voice cut through the pain. I need a Luna who can stand strong. Not one who falls apart every time the wind blows too hard. Gasps from the crowd, my mother's anguished cry. I'm sorry, Damon said again, but the Silver Crest Pack deserves better. I deserve better. He turned and walked away. I stayed on my knees, shaking, my whole world shattering around me. And then, through the pain and humiliation and grief, I felt something else. Relief. Because finally, I didn't have to pretend anymore. Finally, I could stop trying to be something I wasn't. Finally, I was free to break completely. Chapter 2, The Exile. They expected me to stay, to return to the Ashwood Pack with my mother, to heal from the rejection in private, to eventually move on and maybe, if the moon goddess was merciful, find a chosen mate who could look past my shattered bond. I lasted 3 days. 3 days of pitying looks and whispered conversations that stopped when I entered rooms. 3 days of my mother hovering, worried I'd do something drastic. 3 days of feeling the phantom pain of a bond that no longer existed, but had left scars in its wake. On the 4th day, I left. I didn't tell anyone, didn't leave a note, just packed a small bag with essentials and walked out during the pre-dawn hours when no one would stop me. I headed north, toward the neutral territories. The wild lands between pack borders where no one held dominion. The places where rogues lived. Rogues. The boogeyman of pack life. Wolves who'd been exiled or had abandoned their packs. Dangerous, unstable, violent. I wasn't afraid of them. How could I be afraid of something external when the real danger, the real violence, had come from the people who were supposed to protect me? I walked for 2 days. No destination. No plan. Just walking, because stopping meant thinking. And thinking meant feeling. And feeling meant... The panic attack hit on the 3rd day. I was crossing through a dense forest when my vision started to tunnel. My chest tightened. My wolf fled again, retreating so deep I couldn't feel her at all. I collapsed against a tree, gasping for air. This is it. I thought distantly. I'm going to die out here alone. And maybe that's for the best. Hey, I looked up, vision blurry. A woman stood a few feet away, mid-30s, lean and scarred, with eyes that had seen too much. Behind her, 3 more figures emerged from the trees. Rogues. I should have been terrified. Instead, I laughed, a broken, hysterical sound. Go ahead, I managed between gasps. Kill me. I don't care anymore. The woman tilted her head, studying me. You're having a panic attack. Very observant. What's your name? Does it matter? It does to me. I looked at her. Really looked at her. She wasn't attacking. Wasn't threatening. Just waiting. Lyanna, I finally said. I'm Senna. She crouched down to my level. Lyanna, I need you to breathe with me. Can you do that? Why would you help me? Because you asked us to kill you, and that tells me you're hurting. And I remember what that feels like. Her voice was gentle. Now breathe. In for four, hold for four, out for four. I didn't know why I listened. Maybe because...
This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace.
Last year, I went through many different life changes. I needed to take a pause and examine how I was feeling in the inside to better show up for the ones who need me to be my best version of myself.
When you're navigating life's changes, Talkspace can help. Talkspace is the number one rated online therapy, bringing you professional support from licensed therapists and psychiatry providers that you can access anytime, anywhere.
Living a busy life, navigating a long-distance relationship, becoming a first-step father, Talkspace made all of those journeys possible. I could speak with my therapist in the office. I could speak with my therapist in the comfort of my home. I was never alone.
Talkspace works with most major insurers, and most insured members have a $0 copay. No insurance, no problem. Now get $80 off your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com. Save $80 with code SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
Because I had nothing left to lose. Maybe because her eyes held something I recognized. The look of someone who'd been broken too. I breathed with her. Slowly, the panic receded. There, Senna said. Better? I nodded, exhausted. Why are you out here alone? She asked. Because I have nowhere else to go. Pack exile? Self-imposed. I met her eyes. My mate rejected me, in front of everyone. Said I was too broken to be his Luna. Something flickered in her expression. Understanding. Anger on my behalf. And you believed him? Doesn't matter if I believe him. The damage is done. I gestured vaguely at myself. I'm shattered. Might as well be honest about it. Shattered can be rebuilt, Senna said quietly. Trust me. I know. One of the men behind her, young, maybe early 20s, spoke up. Senna, we should go. The Northwood Patrol will be through here soon. In a minute, Cade. She looked at me. Lyanna, I'm going to offer you something, and I want you to think carefully before you answer. What? Come with us. To our settlement. It's not much. Just a collection of wolves who've been cast out or chose to leave. But it's safe, and you can stay as long as you need. I stared at her. Why would you do that? Because someone did it for me once. When I was exactly where you are now, broken, and believing I deserved to die alone. She stood, offering her hand. And because I have a feeling you're meant for something more than dying in these woods. I looked at her outstretched hand. What did I have to lose? I took it. Chapter 3. The Hollow. The rogue settlement was called The Hollow, a name that felt painfully appropriate. It wasn't what I'd expected. No savage camps, no violence. Just a collection of rough shelters built into a box canyon, hidden from pack territories by dense forest and treacherous terrain. Maybe 40 wolves lived there. All of them with the same look in their eyes, the haunted expression of people who'd lost everything and were still trying to figure out how to exist. This is home, Senna said as we approached, such as it is. As we entered the canyon, wolves appeared, watching, assessing. Some hostile, some curious, all of them wary. New blood, a gruff voice called. An older male stepped forward, gray threaded through his hair. Senna, you know the rules. No pack wolves. She's not pack anymore, Marcus. She's been rejected. Marcus's expression softened slightly. Rejected? Publicly. At the bonding ceremony. Murmurs rippled through the gathering crowd. Poor girl, an elderly woman said. That's a special kind of cruelty. She can stay one night, Marcus decided. Then she moves on. We can't afford... Marcus, Senna's voice was firm. Look at her. He did. Really looked at me, at my hollow eyes, my trembling hands, the way I was barely holding myself together. Whatever he saw made him sigh. Fine. 1 week, Then we reassess. Understood? Understood. Senna led me to a small shelter, barely more than a lean-to with a weatherproof tarp. It's not much, she apologized. It's fine. And I meant it. The shelter was exactly what I deserved. Exactly what I was. Nothing. I spent the first 3 days in that shelter, barely moving. The pain of the severed bond was excruciating, a constant ache in my chest that never let up. My wolf was still hiding, and the panic attacks came in waves, leaving me gasping and shaking. I was broken, just like Damon said. On the fourth day, Senna brought me food, a simple stew that I could barely taste. You need to eat, she said gently. Why? Because starving yourself won't fix anything. Nothing will fix this. She sat down beside me. No, nothing will fix it. But you can learn to live with it. To carry it. To let it become part of you instead of all of you. Is that what you did? Eventually. She was quiet for a moment. I was Pack once. Black Moon. I was going to be beta female. Had a mate. A position. Respect. What happened? My mate found his true mate. The bond was stronger than what we'd chosen together. He left me. Her voice was matter-of-fact, but I heard the old pain beneath it. I fell apart. Started making mistakes. The pack lost faith in me. So I left before they could exile me. How long ago? 5 years. Does it get easier? Yes and no. The pain fades. The shame lessens. But the scars remain. She looked at me. The question isn't whether you'll heal, Liana. It's what you'll do with the scars. I didn't have an answer. On the fifth day, I left the shelter. Not because I wanted to. Because I heard a child crying. The sound pulled me out of my stupor. Pulled me toward the center of the settlement where a small girl, maybe 6 years old, sat sobbing. Sweetheart, what's wrong? I knelt beside her. My wolf, she hiccuped. She won't come out. Something's wrong with me. I knew that fear. The terror of losing connection with your wolf. There's nothing wrong with you, I said gently. Sometimes our wolves hide when we're scared or sad. It doesn't mean they're gone. Just resting. Really? Really? Want to know a secret? I leaned closer. My wolf hides too. All the time. And every time I worry she won't come back. But she always does. Even when you're really, really sad. Even then. The girl's tears slowed. What's your name? Liana. What's yours? Pip. Well, Pippa. But everyone calls me Pip. It's nice to meet you, Pip. Are you gonna stay? Most new people don't stay. I don't know yet. I hope you do. You're nice. Something in my chest, something I thought was completely shattered, shifted. Just a fraction, but enough. I started noticing things after that. The way Marcus walked with a limp, but never complained. The way Senna spent her evenings teaching the younger rogues to hunt, even though she was clearly exhausted. The way Cade, the young wolf who'd been with Senna when she found me, helped an elderly couple repair their shelter, asking for nothing in return. These weren't the savage rogues from pack horror stories. These were survivors. People who'd lost everything and were trying, desperately trying, to build something from the ruins. They were broken. Just like me. And maybe, maybe, that was okay. On the seventh day, Marcus called me to his shelter. Your week is up, he said. I know. You can stay if you want. But Liana, you need to understand what you'd be choosing. This isn't easy. We have nothing. Food is scarce. Safety is never guaranteed. Pack wolves hunt us for sport sometimes. We're constantly one disaster away from complete collapse. Why stay then? Why not join a pack? Because none of them want us. We're the broken ones, the rejected, the exiled, the failures. His voice was bitter. Packs only want the strong, the useful, the whole. Then why do you keep going? He looked surprised by the question. Because giving up isn't an option. Because these wolves... He gestured outside. They need someone to keep them organized, to give them purpose. to remind them they're worth surviving, even when they don't feel worth it. Especially then. I thought about Pip, about her fear that her wolf wouldn't come back, about how a few gentle words had eased that fear. I thought about the elderly couple Cade had helped, about how their faces had lit up when their shelter was secure again. I thought about Senna, who'd saved me when she had every reason not to. "I want to stay," I heard myself say. "Why?" Because I stopped, searching for the right words. Because for the first time since my mate rejected me, I don't feel completely useless. Pip was crying, and I helped her. It was small. It was probably meaningless. But for a moment, I felt like maybe I could still be something. Even if it's not a Luna. Marcus studied me for a long moment. "You can stay. But, Liana, I need you to understand. We can't coddle you. Everyone here has trauma. Everyone here is hurting. If you stay, you work. You contribute. No exceptions." "I understand." "Good." He paused. "There's something else you should know. That empathy you showed Pip. That instinct to comfort. That's valuable here. Most of these wolves are so damaged they've forgotten how to be gentle. If you can remember, if you can teach them, I'm not a teacher. I'm barely holding myself together. Then hold them together instead. Sometimes it's easier to be strong for others than for ourselves." And somehow, impossibly, I understood exactly what he meant. Chapter 4. The Foundation. I started small. Pip became my shadow. Wherever I went, she followed. And honestly, I was grateful for it. Focusing on her needs meant I didn't have to focus on my own pain. I taught her the breathing exercises my mother had taught me for panic attacks. I told her stories about the moon goddess and why wolves sometimes needed to hide. I showed her how to find edible plants in the forest, turning it into a game. And slowly, so slowly I barely noticed, other wolves started watching. "You're good with her," Senna observed one evening. "She's easy to be good with." "Not for most people here. Pip's mother died in a pack raid 6 months ago. She hasn't spoken to anyone except Marcus since. Until you." I looked at where Pip was sleeping, curled up beside me like I was safety. "I'm not doing anything special." "You're seeing her. Really seeing her. Not looking past her because she's damaged." Senna's voice was gentle. "That's rarer than you think." Over the following weeks, others started coming to me. The mute Omega, I learned her name was Lyra, who'd been beaten so badly by her pack that she'd lost her voice. She couldn't speak, but her eyes were eloquent. When panic attacks hit, she'd find me. We'd sit together in silence, and somehow that was enough. The elderly couple, Matthias and Vera, who'd been exiled for being too old to contribute. They told me stories about the old ways, about how packs used to value wisdom over strength. I listened, and they bloomed under the attention. Cade, who'd been exiled at 16 for being too weak to complete his warrior training. He was strong, I realized, just not in the ways his pack valued. He was gentle, thoughtful. He noticed when people were struggling and quietly helped without drawing attention to himself. "You remind me of my sister," he told me one day. "She had panic attacks too. The pack healer said she was just weak, but I knew better. She felt everything so deeply. Cared so much it overwhelmed her. What happened to her?" His face fell. "She took her own life. 3 years ago. Couldn't handle being called weak anymore." My chest ached. "I'm sorry." "Me too. That's why I left. Couldn't stay in a pack that valued strength over kindness. That let my sister suffer alone because she didn't fit their mold." I took his hand. "She wasn't weak, Cade. Neither are you. Neither am I. We're just different. The packs don't see it that way." "Then maybe the packs are wrong." 3 months into my stay at the Hollow, I realized something. The settlement was dying. Not dramatically, not obviously, but slowly, inevitably, it was falling apart. The wolves had no real organization. No system for food distribution, for defense, for conflict resolution. Marcus did his best, but he was one person trying to hold together 40 traumatized wolves through sheer force of will. It wasn't sustainable. I brought it up at the communal dinner, a nightly gathering where everyone shared whatever food had been hunted or gathered. "We need structure," I said. Silence fell. Everyone stared at me. "Lyanna," Marcus said carefully, "we've been over this. We're rogues. Structure is what we ran from." "No, hierarchy is what you ran from. Abuse of power is what you ran from. Structure isn't the same as those things." I stood, my heart hammering, but my voice steady. "Right now, we're barely surviving. Food is distributed unevenly. Some wolves get enough, others go hungry. Defense is reactive. We wait until pack wolves attack instead of preventing it. And when conflicts arise between us, we have no way to resolve them except through force." "What are you suggesting?" Senna asked. "Organization. Real organization. Food committees to manage hunting and gathering. Rotating defense patrols. A council to mediate disputes." I looked around at the skeptical faces. "Not a hierarchy. Not alphas and omegas and betas. Just roles. Based on skills, not rank." "That's pack thinking," someone muttered. "No, pack thinking is putting certain wolves above others because of designation. What I'm suggesting is valuing each wolf's actual abilities. Lyra can't speak, but she's the best tracker here. Matthias can't fight anymore, but he knows more about wilderness survival than anyone. Pip is small, but she can fit into spaces adults can't. Perfect for scouting." "And what role would you play?" Marcus asked. I hesitated. "I don't know. Whatever needs doing." "You're organizing this whole thing. That's leadership." "I'm not a leader. I'm broken, remember?" "So are we all," Vera said quietly. "That's the point. But broken doesn't mean useless." Murmurs of agreement rippled through the group. "Let her try," Cade said. "What do we have to lose?" Marcus looked at me for a long moment. Then he nodded. "1 month. We try it your way for 1 month. If it fails..." "It won't," I said, with more confidence than I felt. It almost did fail. The first week was chaos. Wolves who'd spent years without structure rebelled against it. Old pack hierarchies tried to reassert themselves. Conflicts arose over who should do what. But slowly, painfully slowly, it started to work. The food committee ensured everyone got adequate nutrition. The defense patrols gave us warning when pack wolves approached, allowing us to hide or prepare instead of being caught off guard. The council mediated disputes fairly, listening to all sides. And something else happened. The wolves started to heal. Not completely. Trauma doesn't disappear. But they began talking to each other, sharing their stories, supporting one another. Lyra taught silent hand signals to the whole settlement so everyone could communicate with her. Matthias started teaching wilderness skills to the younger wolves, giving him purpose again. Pip organized the pups into a scout squad, turning their size into an advantage. The Hollow was becoming something more than a collection of broken wolves waiting to die. It was becoming a community. And I was becoming something I never expected. Home. Chapter 5. The Visitors. The first visitor arrived on a cold autumn morning, 6 months after I'd joined the Hollow. A young female, maybe 19, stumbled into the settlement barely conscious. She was covered in bruises, her clothes torn, her eyes wild with fear. "Please," she gasped before collapsing. I was there in seconds, checking her vitals. "Get Vera and water, clean cloths." The girl grabbed my wrist. "They're coming. My pack. They'll hunt me. I won't go back." "Shh. You're safe now. No one's taking you anywhere." "You don't understand. I ran. I left. They'll kill me." "Over my dead body," I said firmly. Her eyes widened. "You'd protect me? You don't even know me." "I know enough. You're hurt and scared, and you came here for help. That's all I need to know." By the time Vera arrived with medical supplies, I'd gotten the girl's name, Ash, and her story. She'd been matched with an alpha who beat her. When she'd refused the bond, Her pack had called her defiant and planned to force the mating. She'd run. "They'll come for her," Marcus said quietly as we watched Vera tend to Ash's wounds. "Her pack won't let this stand. It makes them look weak. Then we don't let them take her. Leanna, we can't fight a whole pack." "We don't fight. We negotiate." "They won't negotiate with rogues." "They will if we make it clear the alternative is worse." I'd been thinking about this for months, about how vulnerable the Hollow was, how easily pack wolves could wipe us out if they chose to. But they hadn't. Why? Because we weren't worth the effort. We were scattered, disorganized, no threat to anyone. But what if we were? "We need to send a message," I said. "Not a violent one, a clear one. The Hollow is under protection. Attack us, and you attack all of us. We may be rogues, but we're not alone. We're a community. And communities defend their own." "That's a dangerous game," Senna warned. "Everything's dangerous. At least this way, we're choosing to be dangerous for the right reasons." Ash's pack arrived 3 days later. 20 wolves, led by the alpha she'd been matched with. A brute named Gareth with cruel eyes and crueler hands. "We're here for the traitor," he announced. "The female who abandoned her duty. Hand her over." I stepped forward. Behind me, every single member of the Hollow stood in solidarity. 40 broken wolves standing together. "No," I said simply. Gareth laughed. "You're rogues. You have no authority. No rights. That female belongs to Stoneridge Pack, and we're taking her back. She belongs to herself, and she's chosen to stay here. I don't recognize rogue claims." His eyes raked over me. "And I certainly don't negotiate with failed Lunas." He knew. Somehow he knew who I was. "Then you don't negotiate with a failed Luna," I said calmly. "You negotiate with the Guardian of the Hollow, and I'm telling you, you're not taking her. Or what? You'll fight us? You're outnumbered, outmatched, out of patience with pack wolves who think power gives them the right to abuse," I interrupted. "Yes, we're outnumbered. But are you willing to lose wolves fighting for someone who doesn't want to be yours? Because I promise you, Gareth, we will fight. And some of your wolves will die. Maybe not all of us. Maybe not even most of us. But enough. Is she worth that?" He hesitated. "Moreover," I continued, "if you attack us, every rogue in these territories will hear about it. They'll know that packs are actively hunting settlements, and they'll band together for protection. Right now, rogues are scattered, easy to pick off individually. But united, we'd be a problem." "You're bluffing. Try me." For a long moment, we stared at each other. Then one of his wolves, a female, older, with kind eyes, spoke up. "Alpha, she's right. This isn't worth the cost. Let the girl go. If she doesn't want to be Stoneridge, then we don't want her." Gareth's face reddened. "She's mine." "She's no one's," the female said firmly. "You can't force a bond, Gareth. You know that." He looked around at his own wolves, seeing uncertainty, seeing doubt. Finally, he spat on the ground. "Keep her. Keep all these broken rejects. You deserve each other." He left, and the Hollow erupted in cheers. After that, word spread. The Hollow wasn't just a rogue settlement anymore. It was a sanctuary. A place where wolves who didn't fit pack life could find safety. They came slowly at first. One or two every few weeks. The Omega who'd been rejected for being barren. The Beta who'd been exiled for questioning his Alpha. The disabled Alpha who'd lost his leg and his pack in the same battle. The transgender wolf whose birth pack refused to recognize her true designation. Each one broken in their own way. Each one finding that here, in this canyon with these wolves, broken was acceptable. Expected. Even valued. Because we understood that survival sometimes meant falling apart. And that strength sometimes meant asking for help. I was organizing the new arrivals' sleeping arrangements when Senna found me. "Leanna, we need to talk." The seriousness in her tone made my stomach drop. What's wrong? Nothing's wrong. That's the problem. She gestured around the settlement, which had grown to nearly 80 wolves. Look at this. Look at what you've built. We built it. Together. Don't be modest. You're the reason this works. Your systems, your compassion, your ability to make broken wolves feel valuable again. Liana, you're a leader. I'm not. Yes, you are. And it's time you accepted it. She took my hands. Marcus wants to step down. He's tired, and his health isn't what it used to be. He wants you to take over as head of the settlement. My heart stopped. No. No, I can't. Why not? Because I'm broken. Because I have panic attacks and my wolf still hides, and I'm the Omega who was too weak to be a Luna. You're the woman who built a home for 80 wolves, Senna interrupted fiercely. You're the leader who turned a dying settlement into a thriving community. You're the guardian who stared down a pack alpha and won through words instead of violence. Liana, you're not broken. You're different, I whispered, remembering what I'd told Cade months ago. Yes. Different in all the ways that matter. Different in the ways that make you perfect for this. I looked around the settlement. At Pip, who was teaching other pups the breathing exercises I'd taught her. At Lyra, who was training new arrivals in hand signals. At Cade, who was helping Matthias with construction. At 80 wolves who'd been thrown away by packs that only valued certain kinds of strength. At 80 wolves who'd found value in each other. Okay, I said quietly. I'll do it. Senna grinned. There's one more thing. What? The other settlements. There are three more in the neutral territories. They've heard about us. About what we're building here. They want to meet. To talk about, she paused. About alliance. Alliance? About creating a network. A coalition of rogue settlements that protect and support each other. About building something that could actually stand against pack aggression. My mind raced. That's huge. That's revolutionary, Senna finished. That's what you are, Liana. A revolutionary, whether you wanted to be or not. Chapter 6. The Queen of Broken Things. The first inter-settlement meeting was held at the Hollow, in the communal space we'd built from salvaged materials and sheer determination. The leaders came. Senna from the Hollow, though everyone knew I was the real leader. Marcus from the Shadewood settlement, Elise from Riverbend, and Thomas from the Northern Hollow. 4 settlements. Nearly 200 wolves total. All of them broken. All of them surviving anyway. This is unprecedented, Marcus from Shadewood said. He was older, gray-bearded, with sharp eyes. Rogues don't organize. We scatter. We hide. We survive alone. And we die alone, I countered. One by one, picked off by pack wolves or starved out or simply giving up. This isn't about organizing against packs. This is about organizing for each other. What exactly are you proposing? Elise asked. She was young, maybe my age, with burn scars covering half her face. A network. Communication between settlements. Shared resources when one of us is struggling. Mutual defense if packs attack. And most importantly, I looked at each of them. A message to pack wolves that rogues aren't prey anymore. We're communities. We have value. We have rights. Packs will never recognize rogue rights, Thomas said. He was built like a warrior, but his eyes were haunted. We're outcasts. That's the point. Then we make them recognize us. Not through violence. We'd lose that fight. But through persistence. Through proving that we're not the savage rogues they think we are. Through building something they can't ignore. You're talking about politics, Marcus said. About trying to change a system that's been in place for centuries. I'm talking about survival, I corrected. Right now we exist in the cracks. We're tolerated as long as we're not threatening. But if we band together, if we start demanding recognition, demanding territory of our own, demanding the right to exist without persecution, yes, that's political. But it's also necessary. Silence fell as they considered my words. "Why should we trust you?" Elise finally asked. "You're Pack-born. You were going to be a Luna. What do you know about being a true rogue?" "You're right. I was Pack-born. I was going to be a Luna." I met her eyes. "And then my mate rejected me in front of 300 witnesses because I wasn't strong enough. Because I had panic attacks. Because I was broken. I know what it's like to be thrown away, Elise. I know what it's like to be told you're not good enough, that you'll never be good enough. And I know what it's like to find people who see past the breaking to the person underneath." Her expression softened. "I'm not asking you to trust me because I was Pack," I continued. "I'm asking you to trust me because I'm here, just like you. Because I chose the rogues over Pack life. Because I've spent 6 months building a home for wolves that no one else wanted. And because I believe, I have to believe, that we can be more than just survivors. We can be thrivers." Thomas leaned forward. "What would this alliance look like, practically speaking?" We spent the next 4 hours hammering out details. Monthly meetings between settlements. Shared hunting grounds when one settlement was struggling. Mutual defense packs. A communication system using runners and message drops. And most radically, open borders between our settlements. Any rogue could move between communities freely, finding the one that fit them best. By sunset, we had an agreement. The Rogue Alliance. 4 settlements, nearly 200 wolves, united in survival and mutual support. It wasn't much. It wasn't perfect. But it was a beginning. Word spread fast. Within 2 months, 3 more settlements wanted to join. Within 6 months, we were 10 settlements strong. Over 400 wolves. The packs noticed. At first, they didn't take us seriously. Rogues organizing? Laughable. It would fall apart within weeks. But we didn't fall apart. We grew. And eventually, we became impossible to ignore. The confrontation came in the form of an Alpha Council summons. I was invited, no, commanded, to appear before the Council of Territorial Alphas to explain the rogue situation. Senna was horrified. "It's a trap. They'll kill you, or imprison you, or they'll listen," I said calmly. "This is what we wanted, isn't it? Recognition. A seat at the table. Not like this. Not on their terms." "It's always on their terms, Senna. We're the ones asking for change. But I'm not going alone." I brought 10 wolves with me, representatives from different settlements, different stories, different kinds of broken. Lyra, who couldn't speak but whose eyes said everything. Cade, who'd been called too weak to be a warrior. Matthias, exiled for being too old. Ash, who'd run from forced mating. Pip, now 9 years old, who'd lost her mother to Pack violence. Each one of them living proof that broken didn't mean worthless. The council meeting was held in neutral territory, a massive stone amphitheater built centuries ago for inter-pack negotiations. 12 alphas sat in judgment. 12 powerful wolves who ruled their territories with iron paws, and in the center of their semicircle, me, the failed Luna, the broken Omega, the rogue queen. I stood tall. "You've been causing problems," Alpha Blackmoon said without preamble. "Organizing rogues, refusing to allow packs to reclaim exiled members, creating what you call sanctuaries." "I call them homes," I corrected, "because that's what they are. Homes for criminals and deserters. Homes for wolves that packs threw away." I gestured to my companions. Lyra was beaten mute by her pack for being too weak. Cade was exiled at 16 for not being violent enough. Matthias was cast out for growing old. Ash ran from forced mating. Pip's mother was killed in a pack raid while gathering herbs. "These are your criminals and deserters?" Some of the alphas shifted uncomfortably. "The pack system exists for a reason," Alpha Stonecrest said. "Hierarchy. Order. Strength. Without these things, wolves become no better than the beasts we're descended from." "The pack system exists to concentrate power," I countered, "to ensure certain wolves, alphas predominantly, maintain control. But that system only works if everyone fits neatly into their designated roles. What happens to those who don't? Those who are different, who are hurt, who need time to heal? You discard them. You call them broken and throw them away like they're worthless. Because they're weak, Alpha Redwood said bluntly. Weakness spreads. One weak wolf makes the pack vulnerable. No. Fear of weakness makes you vulnerable. I stepped forward. You're so afraid of anything that doesn't fit your definition of strength that you destroy your own wolves. You exile them, reject them, break them further. And then you're surprised when they band together and create something you can't control. You're creating a threat, Alpha Blackmoon said. We're creating a community. There's a difference. Is there? You're gathering rogues, training them, organizing them. How long before you decide to take what you want by force? We don't want your territories. We don't want your power. I looked at each alpha in turn. We want recognition. We want the right to exist without persecution. We want official territory, the neutral lands we already occupy, recognized as ours. We want the right to travel between settlements without being attacked. And we want protection under inter-pack law. If a pack wolf attacks a rogue, it should have the same consequences as attacking a pack wolf. That's unprecedented, Alpha Silverpine spluttered. So was your pack system once. You're asking us to legitimize rogues, Alpha Blackmoon said, to give them status equal to pack wolves. I'm asking you to acknowledge that we exist, that we have value, that throwing wolves away doesn't make them disappear. It just makes them your problem later. And if we refuse? Then we continue as we are, growing, organizing, becoming stronger. Eventually, we'll be strong enough that you can't ignore us. But by then, your refusal will look less like reasonable caution and more like oppression. And trust me, Alphas, you don't want to be on that side of history. The threat was subtle, but clear. Silence fell over the amphitheater. Then one Alpha spoke. One I hadn't expected. Alpha Damon Silvercrest. My former mate. She's right, he said quietly. Every head turned toward him. Liana is right, he continued, standing. We throw away wolves who don't fit our narrow definitions of strength. We exile, reject, and discard. And then we act surprised when they find each other and create something new. Something that challenges our authority. He looked directly at me, and I saw regret in his eyes. Deep, painful regret. I rejected my mate because she had panic attacks. Because she cried. Because she felt things deeply and it overwhelmed her. I called her broken. His voice cracked. But she wasn't broken. She was hurt. There's a difference. And instead of helping her heal, I threw her away. Publicly humiliated her. Severed a bond the moon goddess herself created. He addressed the other alphas. How many of you have done the same? How many wolves have you discarded because they didn't meet your standards? And how many of those wolves are now in the Rogue Alliance, building something that makes them feel valued? More uncomfortable shifting. If we refuse Liana's request, we're telling every wolf in our packs that there's no room for weakness, no room for mistakes, no room for anything except absolute strength and absolute obedience. And eventually, that will break more than just the rogues. It will break the pack system itself. Alpha Blackmoon's jaw was tight. What are you proposing, Silvercrest? I'm proposing we grant the rogues what they're asking for. Recognize territory, protection under inter-pack law, the right to exist as a legitimate community. He paused. And in return, they agree to maintain order within their settlements, to prohibit criminal activity, and to work with packs on mutual concerns like rogue violence. I hadn't expected this. Hadn't expected him to defend me, to see what I was building as legitimate. But here he was. My former mate. The one who'd rejected me. Advocating for my people. It would set a precedent, Alpha Redwood warned. Good, Damon said. Maybe it's time our precedents changed. The vote took 2 hours of deliberation. In the end, 8 alphas in favor, 3 against, 1 abstaining. The Rogue Alliance was officially recognized. We had territory. We had legal protection. We had legitimacy. We had won. After the meeting, Damon approached me. "Lyanna," he said quietly. "Alpha Silvercrest." He flinched at the formality. "Can we talk? Privately?" I looked at Senna, who nodded. "I'll wait here." Damon and I walked to a secluded corner of the amphitheater. "I'm sorry," he said immediately. "For everything. For rejecting you. For the things I said. For..." His voice broke. "For not seeing you. Really seeing you." "I know." "Do you?" He looked at me and his eyes were haunted. "Do you know that I haven't slept well since that day? That severing our bond felt like cutting off my own limb? That I've regretted it every single day for the past year? And yet you did it anyway. I was a coward. My father, the elders, the pack, they all pressured me. Said you were too weak. Said the panic attacks made you unreliable. Said I needed a Luna who was strong. I remember. But you are strong. Lyanna, you're the strongest wolf I've ever met. You took your breaking and turned it into something beautiful. You built a home for hundreds of wolves. You changed the entire political landscape of our territories. You..." He stopped, swallowing hard. "You became exactly the Luna you were always meant to be. Just not mine." Tears pricked my eyes. "Why are you telling me this?" "Because you deserve to know. Because I was wrong. Because..." He took a breath. "Because I'm asking if there's any chance. Any possibility that you could forgive me. That we could..." "No." The word was gentle, but firm. His face crumpled. "I understand. I had to ask." "Damon," I touched his arm. "I don't hate you. I did, for a while. But hate takes energy I don't have anymore. You were doing what you thought was right for your pack. You were wrong, but your intentions weren't malicious. That doesn't excuse what I did." "No, it doesn't. And I can forgive you without wanting to be with you." I met his eyes. "You rejected me when I was at my lowest. When I needed support, you saw weakness. When I needed compassion, you saw liability. And yes, you've changed. I can see that. But I've changed too. And the person I am now, she doesn't need you anymore. But the bond was severed. By you. It's gone, Damon. Whatever we might have been, whatever the moon goddess intended, that possibility died the moment you rejected me." He nodded slowly, tears streaming down his face. "I'm sorry. For everything. And for what it's worth, I'm proud of you. Of what you've built. Of who you've become. Thank you." He turned to leave, then paused. "Lyanna? One more thing. Yes? The wolf you were when I rejected you, she deserved better. But the wolf you are now, she deserves everything. I hope you find it." He left, and I stood there, feeling the ghost of our severed bond one last time before letting it go completely. Chapter 7. Home. 6 months after the council recognition, the Hollow had transformed. We'd built permanent structures, established trade relationships with willing packs, created schools for the pups, and training programs for adults who wanted to develop new skills. We weren't just surviving anymore. We were thriving. I was in the communal garden, a new addition, teaching wolves to grow their own food, when Pip found me. She was 12 now, tall and confident in everything I'd hoped she'd become. "Lyanna!" She was breathless with excitement. "You need to come to the North Gate. Now." "What's wrong?" "Nothing's wrong. Just come on." I followed her through the settlement, noting how much it had grown. 200 wolves now called the Hollow home. 200 wolves who'd been broken and had found their way here. At the North Gate, a crowd had gathered. And in the center, a young male, maybe 17, barely standing. His clothes were torn, his face bruised, his eyes haunted. "Please," he gasped. I heard there was a place for wolves like me. I can't go back. My pack, they..." He collapsed. I was there immediately checking his pulse, calling for the healers. "You're safe now," I told him. You're home. His eyes focused on me. Home? Home, I confirmed. Welcome to the Hollow. As the healers took him away, I stood at the gate, looking out at the forest beyond. At the path that had brought me here over a year ago, broken and believing I'd die alone in these woods. Senna appeared beside me. Another one. Another one? I agreed. They keep coming. More every week. She paused. You know what this means, don't you? What? You've become exactly what he said you'd never be. What's that? She smiled. A Luna. Not his Luna. Not anyone packs Luna. But a Luna for the broken, for the discarded, for everyone the packs threw away. She gestured to the settlement. This is your pack, Leanna. And they're thriving under your leadership. It's not leadership, it's just love, she finished. You love these wolves. Every broken, damaged, traumatized one of them. You see them. Really see them. And that's why they follow you. Why they trust you. Why they call you queen. I'm not a queen. No, you're so much more. She squeezed my shoulder. You're home. For all of us. Later that night, I sat in my shelter. Larger now, comfortable. Truly mine. And thought about the year that had passed. About the mate who'd rejected me. About the breaking that had brought me here. About the wolves I'd found in the darkness. About building something from ruins. My wolf stirred. For the first time in over a year, she was fully present. Fully awake. We did it, she whispered. We did, I agreed. He said we were broken. We were. Maybe we still are. But we're also whole. Here. With them. I thought about Pip, who no longer cried for her lost mother because she'd found a family in the Hollow. About Lyra, who'd found her voice through the community of wolves who'd learned to listen without words. About Cade, whose gentleness was now seen as the strength it had always been. About all of them. All the broken wolves who'd found their way here and discovered that broken could be beautiful. That broken could be powerful. That broken could be home. A knock at my door pulled me from my thoughts. Come in. Marcus entered, moving slowly but with purpose. The council's requesting another meeting. 3 more settlements want to join the alliance. That's 15 total. Over 600 wolves. He sat heavily. Leanna, you've created something unprecedented. A rogue nation, essentially. Organized, legitimate, growing. We've created it. All of us. But you're the heart of it. The one who believed it was possible. He paused. There's something else. The council wants to formalize your position. Give you an official title. I don't need a title. The wolves do. They need to know who speaks for them, who leads them. He smiled. They're calling you the Rogue Queen. But I think we need something more accurate. Like what? Luna of the Broken. Queen of the Discarded. Guardian of the Hollow. He met my eyes. Mother of the Lost. My throat tightened. Marcus. Accept it, Leanna. Accept what you've become. What you've always been. He stood to leave, then paused at the door. He rejected you for being broken. But that breaking, it made you exactly who these wolves needed. Who this world needed. After he left, I sat in silence, feeling the truth of his words settle into my bones. I had been broken. Maybe I still was. But I'd taken that breaking and built something beautiful from the pieces. I'd become home for the broken. And maybe that was enough. More than enough. Everything. Epilogue. The return. 2 years later. The Rogue Alliance Summit was held in the Hollow. Fitting, since this was where it all began. 20 settlements now. Over 1,000 wolves. All of them once discarded. All of them now thriving. I stood before the gathered representatives, no longer the broken Omega who'd stumbled into these woods 3 years ago. I was Luna now. Not of a single pack, but of a nation of misfits and outcasts and survivors. "We've built something miraculous," I said, my voice carrying across the amphitheater we'd constructed. "A place where broken doesn't mean worthless. Where different is celebrated, not punished. Where every wolf has value, regardless of their designation, their past, their scars." Cheers erupted. "But we're not done. There are still wolves out there who believe they're worthless. Still packs that throw away their members like trash. Still young wolves like we once were, standing at the edge of darkness and seeing no way forward." I looked around at the faces before me. At Senna, my second and closest friend. At Pip, now 15 and training to be a council representative. At Cade, Lyra, Matthias, Vera. At all of them. "We are their way forward," I continued. "We are the proof that breaking isn't the end. It's the beginning. And we will keep building, keep growing, keep showing the world that the wolves they threw away are the ones who'll change everything." The cheers were deafening. As the summit concluded and wolves dispersed to celebrate, a runner approached. "Luna, there's someone at the north gate, a pack alpha, requesting an audience." My heart didn't even skip. I was past the fear now, past the pain. "Which alpha?" "Silvercrest." "Ah." I found Damon at the gate, older now, gray threading through his dark hair. He was alone. No guards, no entourage. Just a man standing at the edge of my territory. "Damon," I said calmly, "what brings you to the Hollow?" "I wanted to see it. What you'd built." He looked past me at the thriving settlement, the gardens, the structures, the laughing wolves, the children playing. "The stories don't do it justice." "We like to exceed expectations," he smiled sadly. "You always did." He paused. "I'm here to make a request." "I'm listening." "One of my pack members, a young Omega, she's struggling. Severe anxiety, panic attacks. The pack is, they're not being kind. She asked about the Hollow, about whether she could come here." "She can come anytime. All wolves are welcome." "I know. But I wanted to ask you personally. To," he swallowed hard, "to make sure you knew I wasn't sending her away because she's broken. I'm giving her the choice I should have given you, the choice to find where she fits best." I studied him for a long moment. "You've changed. Losing you changed me. Watching you build this changed me." He looked at me directly. "I'll spend the rest of my life regretting what I did. But I'm trying to be better. To lead better. To see the wolves others dismiss. That's all any of us can do. Try to be better than we were. Are you happy, Liana?" I thought about my life, about the wolves who called me Luna, who trusted me to lead them, about the community we'd built from nothing, about going to sleep each night knowing I'd made a difference, about being whole, even while broken. "Yes," I said simply. "I am." "Good." His voice was thick. That's all I needed to know. He turned to leave. "Damon?" He paused. "Thank you for rejecting me." He looked back, confused. "If you hadn't," I continued, "I never would have found this. Never would have become this. You said I was too broken to be your Luna. You were right. I was always meant to be something more." Understanding dawned in his eyes, and with it, acceptance. "Goodbye, Liana." "Goodbye, Damon." I watched him walk away, feeling nothing but peace. Then I turned back to my settlement, my home, my family. Pip was waiting. "Everything okay?" "Everything's perfect. Good, because we have 17 new arrivals. They need orientation, housing assignments, and they need to know their home," I finished. "Exactly." We walked together through the Hollow, and I felt the rightness of it in my bones. He had rejected me for being broken, and I had become home for the broken. I had become exactly who I was meant to be. Not despite the breaking, because of it. The end.